divided kingdom. Heavenly Father, we come to you today asking your mercy on our country, our beloved country that just celebrated Thanksgiving. We ask you for time for repentance. We ask you to send the Holy Spirit to convict many more people in this country of the sins that are besieging our country. When I was in high school, I was in a play, and it was part of God's Trombones, and I had to say that I was making a prayer, and in the prayer, I said, "We come to you knee bowed and body bent," and that really should be the stance that all of us have when we look at our own lives, and we see the sins, we see the hidden flaws. The heart of man is desperately wicked. And yet we see some Christians yet in America who still honor you, who still love you. Their children love you, and they help the homeless. And we plead for your mercy. We know that we are in a pre-judgment. It's just so clear in the book, The Harbinger, and his newer book, The Mystery of the Shemitah. These patterns that you have had through the ages, Lord, including those 7 years, and at the end of the 7 years, the Sabbath year, in which people were not allowed to till the fields, and the poor could go in and get what they needed. And when the countries disobeyed you, ancient Israel disobeyed you, you took matters into your own hands, and there were invaders who forced that Sabbath year to be observed and could go in and take the spoils. This is not what we want in America. We don't want the visions of Dimitri Dudeman and others, Michael Boldea seeing the eagle shot down, T.D. Hale seeing the eagle shot down. We don't want to see this come, but we know we are increasingly a Sodom and Gomorrah nation. There's so much happening, and we thank you, Lord, that you have strengthened Pastor Carl Sanders to be with Lou Caverly and me, Elizabeth Caverly, so that we can be warning voices to your people. And we put this program into your hands. If it is now time for this program to grow larger, we ask for your blessing, not because we are so worthy, but we have been obedient and we have been faithful. And we do have hearts that love you, and we do love humanity, and we do not want to see judgment and chaos and destruction come to this beloved country. We thank you again for your help to us, and for all of the listeners out there, we ask that you will bless them, any of them who are ill and need healing. We ask for you to touch their bodies, their minds, their souls, and renew them in a spirit of gratitude as we come to that occasion when we celebrate your birth, Lord Jesus Christ. We ask for you to give us new hearts when we see that little babe in the manger. We ask you to guide us all in the will that you have for each of our lives. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Yes, I'm Elizabeth Caverly, and I want to welcome my co-host today, Pastor Carl Sanders. Welcome to the program, Carl.
God bless you. It's good to be here. I'm always excited to be able to talk to the people and to be able to share and hear what's going on out there with them. We sure like to hear from you folks, and if you can let us know and give us some ideas of what we might be able to find out for you, let us know.
Yes, and we ask people to write to us at the Divided Kingdom, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, that is P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And we would also like to mention that since Carl is our pastor in residence, if any of you have a need of a pastor and you want to be in touch with Carl, Carl, would you give your address and your other contact information and your website?
Yes, it's Trumpet Ministries, and it's Post Office Box 320, Drasco, D-R-A-S-C-O, Arkansas, 72530. You can contact
me. And we weren't sure whether your Trumpet Ministries was .net or .com.
It's .net.
Net. Lou and I were just discussing that the other day for a reason, and so that's good for us to note. And we, as some of the listeners may recall, we talked about that rather dire topic of the detention camps that are open in America. And we want to say again that you made an offer. If people would like to write to you at that P.O. Box 320, Drasco, Arkansas 72530, you would send them information on how to even drive to see them. Isn't that correct?
That's right. We have a booklet that that takes in the, all the contiguous 48 states and Alaska and all of this that gives you driving instructions, tells you where they're at, tells you what to look for. For instance, up here in Arkansas, there's an old charcoal plant where they used to make charcoal briquettes and this type of thing. They've expanded the size of that. They've put up guard towers. They've we've got driving instructions to it. And people in Arkansas may not think that there's a camp up here, but there is. There's actually three camps in Arkansas. So we'll send you the booklet. You can drive around your state and check it out. Be glad to, but they are real. I wish they weren't, but they are.
It's very important that we shine the spotlight of truth and publicize these things, because I think that God Almighty honors us when we do that. It may help to implement a delay on the victorious success. That's an oxymoron, I guess, redundant. Well, anyway, we don't want the evil to come to such a point. We want God to foil things. And if he sees that we have the courage to stand up and tell the truth about these camps, he may well put in a delay. Well, the very first bombshell came today from a listener. And, you know, on this program, we can't always corroborate everything that we hear. These can be rumors. They can be disinformation. But I always feel that when things are brought to us, we have to pay attention. Even in our lives, Lou and I have found when people are brought to us, we know that that usually is from God. There's a reason. You know, many years ago when I was tutoring some children, I was in a very bad situation in a school with a very evil principal, and I ran into an old boyfriend near the pizza shop, and he said, you know, Elizabeth, your ulcer can't take many more of these fights. Why don't you put ads in the paper, and then you could have a lot of tutoring in the evenings, and then you could go to your job and think, I don't care, I could quit any time I need to, because the stress of dealing with that evil individual was very, very great. So that's what I did. I ran a lot of ads. And near Annapolis, there was a newspaper that I put an ad in. And later, this lady said, you know, Elizabeth, I was putting the garbage out, and when I did this, and I was putting the newspaper in the garbage, your ad just seemed to gleam up at me. Well, her dear little son came for tutoring. He was a little eight-year-old with his cowboy hat and cowboy boots, just a darling little child. And we worked together for years, and after Lou and I married, Lou even went back an hour and a half, you know, each way, sometimes to tutor him in 7th and 8th grade math. What a wonderful boy he was. But I know in my heart, absolutely, God brought them to me. And he used that ad to sort of glitter and catch that lady's attention. So when things come to us, we have to assess them. Now, I would also like to say that as a preface to this information, Carl, we remember that there are some questionable connections that the Red Cross has. Remember the Rosicrucian Secret Society? That really means Rosy Cross. And there have been a lot of things written about the International Red Cross. And we remember after 9/11. Remember how a lot of the money seemed to disappear, and it was absconded by the Red Cross after 9/11?
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. So, you know, we do just say that as a background. Now, this information seems to come from two sources. One is Global Research, and the other one that's sort of a related questioning is from the investigative journalist John Rappaport at WordPress.com. Now, this article from Global Research was dated October 21st, 2014, by Nana Kwome, K-W-O-M-E. And again, as you hear this, I think there may be elements of this that are true, and yet at the same time, here was an AP article, Sunday, November 30th, Sierra Leone needs beds to battle threat of Ebola. And they said Sierra Leone will soon see a dramatic increase in desperately needed Ebola treatment beds, but it's still not clear who will staff them, according to the top United Nations official in the fight against the disease. Ebola has sickened more than 16,000 people, of whom nearly 7,000 have died, according to figures released by the World Health Organization Friday. Sierra Leone is now bearing the brunt of the 8-month-old outbreak. In the other hard-hit countries, Liberia and Guinea, the World Health Organization says infection rates are stabilizing or declining. But in Sierra Leone, they're soaring. The country has been reporting around 400 to 500 new cases each week for several weeks. So we can note there that there have been thousands who were sick, 16,000, and 7,000 have died. So this is not an imaginary illness. There is a significant number of people who have been sickened and who have died. Now, this is what we hear now from Global Research. The following text was written by Ghana-based nurse Nana Kwome. It provides an interesting yet controversial opinion on the Ebola pandemic, focusing on the geopolitical implications and America's hidden agenda in Africa. People in the Western world need to know what's happening here in West Africa. They are lying. Ebola as a virus does not exist and is not spreading. The Red Cross has brought a disease to four specific countries for four specific reasons, and it is only contracted by those who receive treatments and injections from the Red Cross. That is why Liberians and Nigerians have been kicking the Red Cross out of their countries and reporting in the news the truth. Now, bear with me. Most people jump to, quote, depopulation, which is no doubt always on the mind of the West when it comes to Africa. But I assure you, Africa can never be depopulated by killing 160 people a day when thousands are born per day. So the real reasons are much more tangible. Reason one, this vaccine implemented sickness, being called Ebola, was introduced into West Africa for the end goal of getting troops on the ground in Nigeria, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. If you remember, America was just trying to get into Nigeria for Boko Haram, but that fell apart when Nigerians started telling the truth. Global support fell through the floor, and a new reason was needed to get troops into Nigeria and steal the new oil reserves they have discovered. Reason two, Sierra Leone is the world's largest supplier of diamonds. For the past 4 months, they have been on strike, refusing to provide diamonds due to horrible working conditions and slave pay. The West will not pay a fair wage for the resources because the idea is to keep these people surviving on rice bags and foreign aid, so they remain a source of cheap slave labor forever. A reason was also needed to get troops on the ground in Sierra Leone to force an end to the diamond miner strikes. This is not the first time this has been done. When miners refuse to work, troops are sent in, and even if they have to kill and replace them all, the only desire is to get diamonds back flowing out of the country. Of course, to launch multiple campaigns to invade these countries separately would be way too fishy, but something like Ebola allows access to an entire area simultaneously. Reason three, in addition to stealing Nigerian oil and forcing Sierra Leone back to mining, troops have also been sent in to force vaccinations, deadly Ebola poison, onto those Africans who are not foolish enough to take them willingly. 3,000 troops are being sent in to make sure that this, quote, poison continues to spread, because, again, it is only spread through vaccination. As more and more news articles are released, as they have been in Liberia, informing the populace of the U.S. lies and manipulation, more and more Africans are refusing to visit the Red Cross. Troops will force these vaccinations upon the people to ensure the visible appearance of an Ebola pandemic. In addition to this, they will protect the Red Cross from the Liberians and Nigerians who have been rightfully ejecting them from their countries. And again, this is by Nana Kwom, a nurse from Ghana. Reason four, last but not least, the appearance of this Ebola pandemic, should Americans not catch on, will be used to scare the countless millions into taking an Ebola vaccine, which in reality is the pandemic. Already they have started with stories of how it has been brought to the U.S. and has appeared in Dallas, how white doctors were cured, but black infected are not being allowed to be treated, etc. All that will do is make blacks strive to get the vaccine because it appears that the cure is being held back from blacks. They will run out in droves to get it, and then there will be serious problems. With all we have seen revealed about vaccines this year, you would think we learned our lesson. All I can do is hope so, because they rely on our ignorance to complete their agendas. Ask yourself, if Ebola really was spreading from person to person instead of controlled spread through vaccination, then why would the CDC and the U.S. government continue to allow flights in and out of these countries with absolutely no regulation or at all? We have got to start thinking and sharing information globally because they do not give the true perspective of the people who live here in West Africa. They are lying for their own benefit, and there aren't enough voices out there with a platform to help share our reality. Hundreds of thousands have been killed, paralyzed, and disabled by these and other, quote, new vaccines all over the world, and we are finally becoming aware of it. Now, what will we do with all this information? Carl, are there some of those strands of information that strike
the chord? Listen, I have received in the last 2 weeks at least 7 phone calls from Mennonite communities and Amish communities that are down there. And the question that I was asked was, should they take the Ebola vaccine? And what I did with the best of what God could give me was to tell them no. Don't.
You mean the workers? You mean the health workers asked you?
No, the community. There are Amish and Mennonite communities down there that have gone down there to get away from America, and they've gone down there to farm. They're forcing them to get microchips and their passports and all kinds of things going on. But they also.
Wow.
Have presented to them these Ebola vaccines, and I have told them not to take them. This is a situation where these are communities, groups, several hundred people in each group that have gone, left this country and gone down there, and now they're being, the government is putting pressure on them to redo their passports with microchips in them and to take this Ebola vaccine. The Ebola vaccine has not been tested yet. It's not a vaccine to stop Ebola. It is a vaccine to give Ebola. And I have been talking to these people and telling them. There's some of them that are up here in Indiana that have relatives down there that have called me from the Amish community. So, we've got a real problem going, and the Red Cross always looked to as being that helper. I can go clear back to World War II and tell you that there are times when the Red Cross facilitated what the enemy was doing. And so I am greatly concerned about the Red Cross involvement. I'm greatly concerned about the troops that we've got down there, not 3,000, but 6,000 troops down there now, and it's growing.
Wow.
And I'm really concerned about that because if we go back, anytime you find Fort Detrick, Maryland, involved in anything, there is a big problem. Fort Detrick was where AIDS came out of. It was a patented, AIDS is a virus that it was patented and came out of Fort Detrick under the guise of population control. Now, Then you say LSD came out of Fort Detrick. A lot of the mind-altering drugs that were used in with Vietnam veterans. We had 38,000 Vietnam veterans that were in stress, all kinds of problems, and the Phoenix Project. Anybody that knows about the Phoenix Project, it began in Vietnam, and it has always been used to with mind altering, this type of thing. Now, Fort Detrick is also involved in the Ebola thing and the Ebola vaccine. And, you know, I just look at it and say, I don't think there's anything good comes out of Fort Detrick, Maryland.
Even talking about the flu vaccine, my husband now has talked to two people. One was a neighbor and one was a colleague at work, and they took the vaccine and then they got the flu. And, you know, then I got to talk to a person, and I was horrified to find out that I said, have you taken it 3 years in a row? Because Dr. Feudenberg, the neurologist that Dr. Stan used to have the information on, Dr. Stan Monteith at Radio Liberty, Dr. Feudenberg's research showed that if you took the flu vaccine 3 years in a row, your chances of getting Alzheimer's just skyrocketed. So, you know, in telling this person this, she said, oh, my, we've been taking it longer than 3 years. And she says, I'm concerned about my memory. And I said, you really should not be taking it. And she thought that only thimerosal was bad. And, of course, that's the deadly mercury that harms the brain. But there are other things in many of these vaccines, according to the research of people like Barbara Lowe Fisher and Dr. Russell Blaylock. Some of them have aborted fetal cells, all kinds of things. Squalene, isn't that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's harmful. And, you know, one reason we are doing this program is we want to warn people. And Satan will try to frustrate our outreach. We may not reach as many people as some other bigger programs. But, you know, we are a program that is true to the King James Version of the Bible, and some other larger programs do not seem to want to have the discernment to really look the situation over and see that how can I be using something that removes the divinity of God and the divinity of Jesus and, you know, takes out other important verses from the Bible. We're told in the Bible that if we do that, terrible things will happen. So, you know, these programs appear to be prospering, and we're chugging along, and we've made it through another month. And if anyone out there wants to help us, you can write a check or a money order made out to WWCR, and that's the shortwave station, WWCR, and not to Lou or me. We cannot take money personally. Unless you want to just slip a $5 bill or a $10 bill in an envelope and mail it to us, and we'll put it toward the program, toward our costs. But anyway, if you would like to help us, any amount will be appreciated. You can send it to Lou Caverly, The Divided Kingdom, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, that is Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. We may not have access to the very top military insiders like Alex Jones does, but we do have access to Almighty God, and we do take a strong stand that we believe in the Bible, all of the Bible. And so that would mean we can't ignore Deuteronomy and Leviticus. We cannot approve of same-sex marriage. We can't. We can't be libertarians who say any lifestyle is okay and we'll keep our freedom in America. We won't, will we, Carl?
We sure won't. We take a stand. You know, I did a series on why I carry a King James Bible, and it's been real popular. It's still on a lot of television programs. At 3 o'clock in the morning, you can catch it, but. I stood on what that King James Bible said, and I still do. And so if anybody's interested in that, you got our address before, write to me, and I'll send you a copy of that DVD with at no charge. So,
you know, you can send that to yours truly, too, if you'd like to.
I would love to.
That would be wonderful. Now, we're going to think about something else here, and of course, it, again, shows that we're going into sort of a Nazi-like state here in America. What you said was rather horrifying there about the Mennonites and the Amish who are trying to go to keep their freedom to another country. And reading behind the scenes, I know you've been an insider here on November 16th, before Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel resigned, we saw the headline, U.S. Nuclear Woes, Pentagon Chief Orders a Shakeup. The Pentagon will spend an additional $10 billion to correct deep problems of neglect and mismanagement within the nation's nuclear forces, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel declared Friday, pledging firm action to support the men and women who handle the world's most powerful and deadly weapons. This was at the Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota. Hagel ordered top-to-bottom changes in the nuclear arsenal's management, which he had said had been allowed over the years to backslide, afflicted by broken and missing equipment, poor leadership, and inadequate training and staffing. We recall that it looked like trumped-up charges against some probably very good men, very good patriots, who were ousted. So isn't this something that you suspect was part of why Chuck Hagel left? Things were becoming so bad that I think maybe he didn't want to be in charge of this chaos. And I know your time goes back all the way to Bob Gates. So why are all these people leaving, Carl? We had Bob Gates was firing his top military and civilian Air Force leaders in 2008 because of similar problems. But why is everybody deserting now?
You know, I think one of the things that people really don't realize, our government, whether it be Democrat, Republican, or what it is, there is a shadow government. There's a government beneath the regular government. And people like Henry Kissinger, Bob Gates, and these people have always been a part of that shadow government. And decisions are made, and I believe the decisions are being made right now to gut the military of the dedicated leadership to bring this down. 26 years ago, when I first started preaching, I talked about that there was only one way that the United States would be brought into the New World Order, and that would be to break the back of the economy, to collapse the economy. Right now, there's some strange things going on. They're expecting gas to be under $2 a gallon by the end of December. Interesting that that this is happening. Interesting that the Saudis and all the rest of the people that are supplying gas are concerned about the fracking that's going on in the United States and the amount of natural gas that's being pulled in. And so to break that, they're going to drop gas to less than $2 a gallon and hope to stop the exploration and all the work we're doing to get cheaper gas here in the United States. So there is a plan that's laid out, and this thing you can follow it through the last few decades, and you can see exactly where they're heading and what they're going to do. So
yes, it's important that you brought this fact up to any new listeners that there is this shadow government. And to back up what you're saying there about this plan, this same article on Hagel had something interesting. It said while he was still there, among his more significant moves, Hagel authorized the Air Force to put a four-star general in charge of its nuclear forces, according to officials. The top Air Force nuclear commander currently is a three-star lieutenant general, Stephen Wilson, is responsible not only for the 450 Minuteman ICBMs, but also the nuclear bomber force. Hagel has concluded that a four-star would be able to exert more influence within the Air Force, and the appointment would send a signal to the entire force that the mission is taken seriously, the defense officials said. Doesn't that seem strange there? It looks like everything is being degraded there a lot, doesn't it, with those lesser commanders?
Yeah, I think that's been done. I really believe that's being done.
Yes. Now, you know, we look at these things, and we may get on into some other things of, the Islamic, all of these different things, but we're also going to talk about the spiritual. It is at the heart of everything that we're seeing happening. And when you mentioned the economy, I'm a little deeper now into Pastor Jonathan Kahn's second book, The Mystery of the Shemitah. Now, as a book, it doesn't read nearly as well as The Harbinger. That just captured your whole attention. There's a lot of repetition. I would have liked to help him edit his book a little bit, but the information is absolutely crucial. It's worth getting the book to get the information. The second half of the book that I talked about earlier on air about the towers, how there was the ascendancy of power in Europe for many, many decades, and it all relates back to the first tower at the Tower of Babel, man's hubris and his pride and his arrogancy. And then when the power began to wane, especially from the British Empire, then the towers began to be built here. I think the first one was about 1870. There was a tall building in New York. Then we had the Woolworth Building and the others that were important, like the Empire State Building. But eventually, the towers will fall when God brings a judgment. And we saw a lot of prophecy spoken there John Edwards, the presidential candidate, quoted from Isaiah 9:10 about the bricks being fallen, but we'll rebuild. And when Tom Daschle spoke this right after 9/11 on September 12, 2001, in Congress, he spoke that same prophecy unwittingly. He quoted that. To them, it probably was, gee, this is great. We're waving the American flag. Oh, yay. We'll build everything better. That is, unless they were deeply enlisted by the New World Order, the shadow government. But God had a different idea. Everything that we try to put up without repentance will be knocked down. Pardon me. So when we're looking at this idea that we're in pre-judgment and that everything is changing, some of these things aren't entirely little. You know, I looked there at the time of Thanksgiving, and they had a Macy's Thanksgiving Day success. They had six new giant balloons, and one of them was the red Mighty Morphin Power Ranger. And I thought, there, we're putting our trust in our celebrity culture, in our affluence that we've always had. American Christians have not had to endure what the third world people endure, not having water, not having food, not clean water, that is. So it's interesting to note in my mind that things look okay on the surface, but underneath something is rotting and a disaster is waiting just around the corner, because there were the Ferguson protests that were near the parade. There were six protesters chanting justice for Mike Brown, and they were handcuffed, and they were trying to march toward the parade route. And near the end of the parade route, about 50 protesters walked up and down the sidewalk carrying signs and chanting, hands up, don't shoot, and so forth and so on. That's just a little inkling there. But the spiritual aspect was shown by the retailers opening more and more and more on Thanksgiving Day. And I'm ashamed to say that possibly 4 years ago, Lou Caverly and I were coming back from spending Thanksgiving with our family in Pennsylvania, and we noticed the Kmart was open. I said, oh, let's go in and shop. And I had the typical exhilaration and joy of shopping, and I'm ashamed to say that there was no dawning of consciousness whatsoever in my brain, why this is wrong. This is a day that we should be resting and honoring Jesus Christ the way the pilgrims did. Nothing hit me. I was just absolutely sinful, but I wasn't aware of it. I wasn't even aware of it. I certainly am aware of it now, and I would never go in to a store on Thanksgiving. Jim Hightower said, so they've moved the start of Black Friday back into Thursday, often cutting into family meal times. Some are even opening their doors at 6 a.m. on Thanksgiving Day, essentially wiping out this day of family grace for every employee they require to be at work. Show up or lose your job. Thanks, boss. A mall outside of Buffalo has gone even more extreme, requiring its 200-plus stores to open on Thanksgiving Day or pay a $200 an hour fine. And some of these stores that did this, many of them, are including, I'm trying to see here, some of them that they listed. I know Walmart, Target, the Colossal Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota, said it drew 100,000 people between 5 p.m. Thursday and 1 a.m. Friday, nearly what it draws over a typical full day. So there were many, many retailers who did this. Now, there were a few who held out, and we want to compliment them, and we want to advise you to shop there. Costco, Nordstrom, so I think maybe Barnes & Noble and Dillard's. Yes, okay, here's a better list. Costco, Crate & Barrel, Barnes & Noble, Dillard's, Nordstrom, Patagonia, and Jim Hightower says these are stores that respect their employees and America's values by closing on Thanksgiving Day. Now, when we see what's happening within the shopper's mentality, again, we're seeing the Christian values slipping, and we're not seeing very much awareness that we are worshiping our things instead of God. This was another AP article, and they were saying there, Mary Smalls, 40, was there, and that was at Toys R Us in New York City's Times Square when it opened at 5 p.m. She was trying to get all her shopping done, and she said, I'm going to try to avoid the crowds. And they say just a few years ago, when a few stores started opening late on the holidays, the move was met with resistance from workers and shoppers who believed the day should be sacred. Now, here we have Target, Macy's, Staples, JCPenney. They're opening earlier and earlier in the evening on the holiday. Nevertheless, we have to really ask ourselves, where are the pastors? Where are the churches? Is there any kind of spiritual leadership that would teach the people, Carl?
Well, one of the things that's happened, this is the churches have begun to melt into the world system, so we don't have that standard that we had at one time. And I think the churches are too busy with what's going on inside their walls instead of reaching outside their walls and see what's happening with a world that's lost its direction and compass. And I think you remember when Obama first became president the first time, and he's president, the first thing he did was state that he would not, and his attorney general would not, enforce the DOMA Act. Now, Congress had passed a law in both houses on the Defense of Marriage Act. And it said marriage was between a man and a woman. And that's the way it was. That law is still on the books. That law has never been rescinded. But Holder and Obama have neither one wanted to enforce that law. In fact, they've just turned the other way and gotten worse in the liberality that's come in that. But that law is a law. Why is it not being enforced? There's a lot of laws that he doesn't enforce. And the danger with him right now is all of these regulations that he just signed, close to 3,000 of them, that are going to cost each American taxpayer about $15,000 a year, $15,000 because of these new regulations that didn't go through Congress, didn't go through anything. They're signed by him, and he's released them now. So, I see all this going on, and I wonder, but it goes right back to why didn't the church stand up when the Defense of Marriage Act wasn't up upheld and wasn't enforced. And,
yes, I think that's so important, what you're saying. And we hope and pray that programs like this one may begin to reach more Christians, Christians who are not finding a church that they can go to. We hear people telling us that to find any kind of a Black Robe Regiment church or anything good like that, they'd have to drive 200 miles. And, you know, here I looked at this, another headline, Ferguson protests shut down shopping. And I thought that was kind of interesting. That was kind of ironic. As Small Business Saturday approached, numerous storefronts in the Ferguson area had their windows covered with plywood with messages painted across many of them, letting neighbors know that the shops are still open. But there was a little problem there, you see. They wanted the people to stop shopping and join the movement. So maybe it worked a little bit to our advantage to get the civil unrest stopped. But here I have something that I think goes in with what you're saying, that we're going into an increasing police state. All that vital information that you gave us about the Amish and the Mennonites and the chips being put in their passports and the regulations, there will soon be more regulations probably on the Amish here in America. This says not just another police riot, and this was written, I believe, by a listener, and we received that recently. Jesus wore a hoodie. Well, yes, but he wasn't a hoodlum. He didn't break into cars. Of course, there weren't any cars, but it wouldn't have mattered. He didn't commit residential burglaries, wasn't fencing stolen jewelry. He took a whip to the moneylenders, but did not try to kill the neighborhood watch. Jesus was a revolutionary. Trayvon Martin was a thug. Michael Brown was a thug at 280 pounds, needing no weapon to be deadly, jacked up on drugs. Shortly after strong-arming a store clerk to steal a box of cigars, he made the fatal error of trying twice to kill Officer Wilson, who was forced to shoot him in self-defense. So some people use the excuse to riot and loot. And the federalized police in Ferguson let them, even apparently providing provocateurs with Molotov cocktail petrol bombs. Then the feds attack peaceful, misguided demonstrators, brutalize and threaten to kill constitutionally protected press. Do you actually think the Obama regime and its globalist puppet masters don't want chaos, civil war, and lethal tyranny? Carl, I'd like you to expand that, because Satan is at the head of that. What does Satan want to come in? What is his kingdom going to be like?
Well, you know, we have to realize that Satan's kingdom is here on earth. You know, people say, well, Satan's defeated and this type of thing. No, he's allowed to roam to and fro and just see what kind of things he can do. And what he will do is whatever he's allowed to do. And so, you know, people say he's not here. Well, he's sure gnawing at our ankles and creating problems all the time. When we go back and look at our lack of respect for the family unit, the church, and what the church stands for, and go step by step, we see that we are in that place that's talked about in Scripture, where men will be lovers of self, men will lay with men as they would lay with women, women will lay with women. When all of this is happening, we're on a collision course with a time that when he is going to judge, and that judgment is in the Bible. It's very clear. And what I look at is, you know, one more soul, one more person to reach, one more time to speak and tell people what's going on. That's our job at this point, and it's going to get worse and worse. It's not going to get better and better. People are saying, well, there's going to be a great revival. No, the Bible doesn't say there's going to be a great revival. It says things will act worse and worse.
There could be if we're not fully in the final times, and we can never be totally sure of that. So we want to say that we ask Almighty God to help us repent, and that there could be another revival before the final New World Order is formed. Now, you know, when we were talking there about the shopping, I heard something interesting on WBJC, and it's the classical music station, Carl, out of Baltimore. They were talking about this very thing, the Black Friday shopping early on Thanksgiving, and the commentator, I think it was Jonathan Polewski, actually said, this is the New World Order way of shopping.
Yep.
It's really an interesting thing to think that a classical music station out of Baltimore would be commenting in this way, saying that this new form of shopping, this new model, it was the New World Order, new shopping model. So this shows shadow government is spiritual, too. And I think that a lot of pastors who have a lot of advantages, and mostly those would be upper-class white pastors who have a nice, cushiony job that pays them a lot of money, those mega church heads, they have more responsibility than some of these poor black pastors, the African Americans, who don't know what they're being brought into. And I was really irritated to see this District Heights, and this is in Maryland, churches receive discounts with Green Ministries. This is a recent AP article, Carl. The news was as welcome to the group of Prince George's County pastors as a plague of locusts. Maryland's controversial stormwater remediation fee applied to all property owners, including houses of worship. Depending on the acreage, churches faced a tax of hundreds, even thousands of dollars. And I will interject that this has been the cause for a lot of humorous remarks about our Governor O'Malley and his rabid environmentalism, the Agenda 21 agenda. The Reverend Nathaniel B. Thomas of Forestville New Redeemer Baptist Church and his colleagues figured there had to be a better way. We challenged the fee, Thomas said. Once Uncle Sam finds a way to take your money, he doesn't stop. After months of negotiation with County Environmental Director Adam Ortiz, the pastors emerged with a rebate deal that will significantly cut the fees if churches adopt programs and equipment that will curb runoff, lessen pollution, and help bolster the environment. So far, about 30 churches have applied. Forestville Redeemer was the first. They are planning to install rain barrels, build rain gardens, plant trees, and perhaps replace their blacktop with permeable pavement. The government will cover most of the cost. In return, a fee that was estimated at $744 a year will be reduced to virtually nothing, Ortiz said. Thomas and other pastors also have agreed to start, quote, green ministries to maintain the improvements at their churches and to preach environmentally focused sermons to educate their congregations. What God made was good, Thomas said November 16th, quoting from the first passage in Genesis, but it's us that made it bad. I think that is just so sad, don't you, Carl?
Well, one of the things that we have done is moved away from God's Word, the gospel of Jesus Christ in our churches. Now we've gotten political, now we've gotten green, now we've gotten just about everything else comes. Some churches have David Letterman nights, and they have entertainment, and we've moved to entertainment rather than preaching the gospel. The message, falling into the hands of an angry God, was a tremendous message that was preached without any fanfare at all. I think that we need to get back to good, solid, Bible-based preaching. The life and death and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is a powerful message, and we need to deliver that message. And so we've moved away from that. And when I was talking about the fact that there...
And I want to interject there, yeah. Carl, a moment. Yes. That message, too, shows that we were created in God's image and we have worth as an individual, whereas the New World Order environmental movement, we are worth nothing. We're not worth as much as a rock or a wolf. So to me, hearing that African-American pastor say that the earth was good till we messed it up, it completely shows us worshiping the creature, not the creator, doesn't it?
It sure does. And, you know, we... that people talk about evolution, and I had a man sitting with me, and he was talking about that he was a atheist, and I explained to him the function of an eyeball. It took me a little while to talk to him about it. I said, how long do you think people would have run into each other or run into trees if the eyeball had evolved, and it took it a while to get to where it would function? And he said, well, I don't believe that. He said, I believe that it must have been created. And so we've got from that to a creator to the name of the creator, God himself. And I got to lead the guy to the Lord at my kitchen table. And he came in an atheist. He went out a born-again, Bible-believing Christian.
But that is wonderful. And I want to say something there, too, that we're now approaching that season of the year, Christmas, when you said people's hearts are softened and you can reach them about Jesus more. And it occurred to me in thinking about us today here talking to tell people what Jesus has done for us, it was important to realize that when you give your life to Jesus completely, then he does wonderful things because he has had a plan for you all along, and you might have deviated from it, but he wants you to be on this plan. And what I was going to say was two examples, and then you might have something like this to add, Carl, that whatever we give out for the Lord comes back to us, even in harsh circumstances. Now, I've told before in the air the 7 years that Lou, my husband, was jobless due to an unjust act of someone who let him go as a master teacher to hire someone right out of college who was cheaper, and that person didn't even last. He had to be transferred to another school. He couldn't even keep discipline. But during the travail of those 7 hard years, my husband did some home teaching for a neighboring county, and one little girl was a 6th grader, and she was terribly ill with chronic fatigue syndrome. Her name was Leslie, and some days Lou would get there, and she was too ill. She couldn't even hold a hairbrush to brush her hair. Then her mother would say, you can't work with her today. So he worked with her, and God was good. Eventually, over a period of years, she came out of that, and she now is married and is a nurse. But moving down the line, about 6 years after Lou did that good deed for the Lord, she was now in high school and needed some other tutoring. She was well, and she came here, and Lou had started to be choking when he would eat. We'd be out at a restaurant, and we didn't know what was going on. So it happened right here in front of Leslie's father, and her father says, oh, my, you need to go to Dr. So-and-so immediately. I had this trouble, and this is serious. Well, he saved my husband's life. My husband had Barrett's esophagus, and that was almost cancer. So, you know, there was the good deed that came right back to him. And so then another one, last night I was talking to a grandmother who's raising her grandson, and she had to have a lawsuit to get him when he was 3 months old because his other grandmother wanted him and was not a Christian. And she said a local psychologist played a great role because he was well-respected in the community, and he testified and helped her and her husband get their little grandson. And now what has happened, that psychologist has died, and that little grandson is now 16 years old, and he went out shooting for venison. And he came home, and he got a deer, and he takes a lot of the food to the widow of that psychologist who played the part in bringing him to his wonderful home with his grandparents.
Well, how about
Carl, in your life, has there been something like that where you've seen when you gave for the Lord, something came back?
You know, I've seen so many times. Just recently, I'm in a electric wheelchair. I lost the use of my legs, getting shot down in Indochina, and the end result, many surgeries and this type of thing. Finally, I got to the point where I couldn't use my legs anymore. And but I had gotten a second electric chair, and I it had a short in it. There was a problem with it. I fixed it, and I put two batteries in it and got it to work, and it was really working great. And I prayed, and I said, Lord, if there's a... show me somebody that can use this chair. I want to give this chair away. And I went into dialysis. I was coming down the hallway in my chair, and and there was a man in a wheelchair that was just almost not able to keep it going. He was trying to get it going, and I stopped, and I asked him, I said, sir, I said, if you had a chair like this, would you use it? And he grinned. He said, oh, yes, I sure would. And I got to give him that chair. I had his family come out and pick it up and take it to him, and he could get out in his orchard. He could go up and down the ramp in front of his house, and he'd go out to his orchard, and this was about 6 months ago. Last Sunday, we had dialysis on Sunday because they were setting it up so we could have a couple days off for Thanksgiving, and so we had dialysis on Sunday. And he was so weak, they couldn't hardly get him out of the car and into his chair. And I found out on Tuesday that he had elected to not come back to dialysis anymore. And he passed the word to me through his family that he had a great 6 months with that chair. But now he was going home to his wife. He was 84, and so he has he stopped his dialysis and so that he could go home. So somebody had six months to use out of a chair, and a chair I was able to fix and this type of thing. And I just praise God for it. The man was precious. His name is Don Reed, and I just asked for prayers for his family. He was a
tremendous
man.
Yes, and we will pray.
Man.
And you know, the joy that you got, you know, we can't explain this joy that Jesus Christ gives us. It gives us a heart. When we look at the tenets of Islam, go out and kill all the infidels, we hope that many of those people, those wonderful people who believe that and are sending their children out to be suicide bombers and all of those things, that they will turn away and become Christian. We're glad that Dr. Larry Spargimino has done a lot of work in the Middle East with converting people. So, you know, we're here witnessing that Jesus Christ is real, and it isn't easy. It isn't a magic pill to become a Christian, is it?
You know, it's not. It's a decision you make. Jesus, come into my heart, and you want him in your heart. You want him there's a lot of times that we say a sinner's prayer, and then we go on living like we did before, and something has to change when you receive Jesus Christ. There's a change that comes into your life, and if without that, you need to take a check and see. For me, it seems so real every day when I wake up. And
yes, every minute counts. You know, you and I are not 21 years old anymore, and we realize that whatever impact we're going to make, we have to do it. And that, like that story you always tell about the sports figure, was always going to talk to his player, but he never got it done because the player was killed on the field. We can't be like that. We can't say what if or we might have done something. Let's all revitalize ourselves in Jesus Christ and turn to him. Submit our lives completely, trusting for every aspect. Our emotional health, our physical health, our money situation. He won't let us down. Carl, this
Amen.
Is a great blessing to have you on, and we'll
have
you on probably in about 2 weeks.
All right. I was looking for a poem called Respectability versus Holiness, and when we do that next program, I'll read that poem to you. It's very special.
That'll be wonderful.
God bless you.